O congregants, we would do well to listen to last week's joyful reading before this one. Yes, they are connected. A slimy strand of goo shining invisibly between them, slick with droplets of grease divine. For those of you in attendance last week, you would do well to remember the following. The smallest beetle discovered a beautiful porcelain mug of a big sassy kitty, The smallest beetle did try to hide it, but it was stolen from her. All within the rights of the larger beetles in a height-based society. The smallest beetle, she did see the victor of her mug, a vice president beetle, lose miserably to an even larger president beetle who wanted the mug for herself. And yay, when the VP beetle did have his leg ripped off for his hesitation, the smallest did take care of him, though he was rude and a heightist devout. She tried to heal him, but what can be done when a beetle's exoskeleton begins to die, opening a larger and larger hole into the living? Well, listen today as we proclaim, the story must be told.
The story must be told.
We are all stewing animal tendencies, evolutionary stable strategies that define our lives but do little to instill them with meaning. We are collections of habits, and all in some time frame lead to ruin. You just got to giggle about it. Oh, brother, read a song, please.
Big sassy kitty, big sassy kitty. Everywhere I go, I see big sassy kitty. Driving on the road, I see from my good dash a car driving forward with big sassy kitty on the back. Oh, I drive up. I accelerate. I wave to the person inside. I mouth the words, "Pull the fuck over!" It's the big sassy kitty I want. It's that big sassy kitty I need. I run up to the car. I open it up. I smear my dripping jowls upon the inside leather interior. I want my big sassy kitty, please, I request. The people flee. The daughter stays buckled in the back seat. She cries as I rip big sassy kitty free and caress its loving fur. Don't worry, child, I say. We all learn what love is one day.
Listen, dear congregants, as our dearest guest preacher, Jackie Zabrowski, does stain us with the story's thrilling conclusion to this bug drama most holy. Miss Zabrowski, please.
A reading from the Quarterly Magazine of Story, written by Wikipedia Coleslaw, titled The Smallest Beetle or Brutal Beetle Beatdown, Part 2. Over the next 2 weeks, the VP lost more and more exoskeleton. By the time the smallest beetle finally defeated the infection, there was a hole in the beetle's shell large enough for her to climb in. An exoskeletal plate had eroded and split from the back. Before, where she could only see dark glimmers of the beetle beneath the skeleton, she could now trace the clear connections between tissues, watch the line of heart chambers chug. Again, it confounded her how something so big outside could be so empty inside. When the height patrol robbed and shamed her, 1'11", how disgusting, and left her to the mob's attack, she saw inside her own body. She burst out of the wound. It occurred to the smallest that despite her size, there was as much beetle within her as bugs twice her size. While the VP beetle ate of what little she scavenged, The smallest cleaned his wound more. It was too much for even four mouse pads to cover, but if it was exposed, he would die.
Yes, yes, yes,
she told the beetle. He hissed a sour note and threw a raggedy scrap of bone at her. What, she didn't have enough mouse pads? His chastising did not garner the obedience he desired. Instead, the smallest beetle scowled her feelers and tapped a foreleg deep inside his open cavity. He hissed so loudly, she skittered halfway up the wall before falling onto her back. How many beetles had heard? She did not like to think what hungry interns would make of an exposed vice president. They didn't know what a meager snack the bug was. She shushed the beetle with a claw to her feelers.
Hiss, hiss, hiss,
she said, staring deep into his eyes. She explained, as gently as she could, that the bug was likely to die. The smallest expected whining, threats, or insults. Instead, the beetle made a sound she did not know beetles his size made. As she did when the supervisor stole her mug, the VP's feelers scraped together like wringing hands. Their dry bristles rubbed and waxed, playing a hollow ring like an organic metal. He was weeping, but as beetles do, beautifully. Agony expressed as song. Mournful as it was, she could not help but listen. She was not alone in this. Hissing came from outside.
Rat-ta-ta! Rat-ta-tat!
Came the beetle laughter. The smallest spun to the sound. They'll think I'm crying in here. They'll see everything. In the small space, the smallest saw nowhere to hide the vice president. The beetles would see them together, would seize upon the weak superior, and who knows what they would do to her for hiding such a secret. She would try to stop them, but she knew the futility of her shameful size. It was then the smallest realized it would be easier to hide herself than the VP, and she knew just a space a beetle like her could fit. The VP squirmed in horrible discomfort. Not pain, exactly, but a sensation too unexpected to enjoy as the interns barged inside. They stopped short when they saw the VP, and the VP alone. The weeping had stopped, replaced by the large beetle's strange croaks. Something was wrong with him, they could tell. But what? They were so distracted by his presence in the smallest beetle's hovel that they did not think to count his legs. Where the one had been broken free, there were now two shorter legs in its place. One of the larger interns asked who was crying.
Hiss, hiss.
The VP could not think of an answer, but he didn't need to. From within the beetle, like a new consciousness had moved in, the VP heard a subskeletal hiss of answer.
You ate me. The smallest beetle, he hissed. I ate her.
The beetle stared in horror. Did executive beetles actually eat interns? They had never witnessed such an act, but it was not impossible to imagine. The beetles would not move. The smallest poked inside the larger beetle. He attempted to grab the others like he might eat them too. The beetles fled in terror, pathetic whines escaping shocked wide spiracles. Free from their gaze, the VP could finally react. Had she really fit inside his exoskeleton? He felt where the hole had been and found the smallest beetle's stubby forelegs. Her exoskeleton fit smoothly between his plates, as though natural. She had terrified him, but saved, likely, both their lives. She crawled out of him, slick with his insides, and the discomfort disappeared. He felt hollow. For the first time, the vice president beetle had nothing to hiss. He examined his healer, gooey in his own entrails, but alive and safe. He thought of the interns he had reprimanded in the past, the mocking hisses and brutal swings of foreleg. He knew fully he deserved no kindness and, perhaps, never did. He knew he would die and considered that if he deserved anything, it was this. The smallest beetle, on the other hand, having known what it was to be in a larger beetle's skeleton, could now imagine power. She could, from within the beetle himself, feel the way authority rattled through his plates, quivered his muscles, and expended air through his holes. She remembered the mug of Garfield. She asked.
Is this his?
The VP reflected on the question. How tall were they together? The nine-tone beetle played the eighth tone, four legs bent in a wide V. In the coming shade of dusk, the 30th floor vibrated. Within the copier, the grease beetle plied his wrench-like mandibles about gears. In the trash pile, intern beetles humiliated those just quarter inches shorter. In the corner office, washed in light and scrubbed clean by the scrapes of secretary beetles, the president beetle admired her collection. Along shelves of stacked cinder blocks and broken office furniture, a museum of human relics glowed in the steady light. Hubcaps, Furbies, steak knives, and unmatched shoes filled most shelves. She kept the most prized possession between her mandibles, the mug of Garfield. From outside, the beetles clacked in a roar the way they did before every challenge. The president shook her head. This again? There were no taller beetles, and yet they always convinced themselves it would end differently. She tried to ignore the clamor. Bang, bang, bang! A knock came on the door. From the other side of the blurred glass, the president could see a lopsided beetle she did not at first recognize. She had just danced in battle 3 weeks back. They could not expect another display so soon. Yet the figure would not leave, would not cease banging on the door. The president did not enjoy this beetle's tenacity. It worried her how many inferiors demanded to be punished. She commanded the secretaries, who immediately wedged under her fat exoskeletal ass to lever her from her seat. Outside, the vice president beetle fidgeted in his spot, standing upright on an uneasy tripod of legs. As far as the beetles could tell, the VP had regrown his own leg, and then some. Impossible for members of their genus. Though he limped, the beetles couldn't help but clamor about him as he walked so assuredly to the corner office. Within the dark of the VP's exoskeleton, the smallest beetle hissed hard against the loose organs pressing against her. She could feel the larger beetle's heart chambers pump through her antenna and knew how frightened the VP felt. But his tone did not betray it.
Hushes, hiss, hiss, hiss.
He shrieked at the closed door.
Hiss, 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 hiss.
He said, calling the president a coward.
He's laying it on too thick, the smallest worried.
They had prepared for this in the hole behind the Snapple machine. For a week, they tested the balance and height attainable with the smallest small but powerful legs, joining the VP's remaining limb. They could not achieve a traditional challenge stance, but the smallest didn't think that mattered. Their balance was remarkable. They could walk upright as though an ancient. No wobbling, no aid necessary. This had to mean something. After all, the height test was a shorthand for real battle. If the pair together were as strong as the smallest suspected, it wouldn't matter how tall they rose. There could be no defeating them. She felt confidence inside the beetle. It mentally brought her back to those long summer days spent in a pupa of shredded paper and saliva. She was protected, given the gift to imagine, without restriction, the possibility of a new life. The door to the corner office fell down from its broken hinges, and the president beetle emerged. She startled at the beetle standing before her, upright with no assistance. She tried not to let her surprise show in her feelers or antenna. She spat from her pores in a fine mist. It's the VP again. Hadn't he had enough? She spun the orange mug about the end of one mandible and noticed then the extra leg on her challenger. Some new adaptation? How? She wondered what happened to the other amputees she had made out of defeated challengers. They could not all have healed. No, they had all died. just as this one would. She screeched, and the watching beetles quickly circled around the pair. The challenge was accepted. Within the VP, the smallest heard the pounding rhythm of the spectators, each banging a leg against hard thoraxes. Blind inside her partner, she had to listen to the VP's hearts and hisses, to the percussion of the clacks, to the rat-tat-tat-rat-tat-tat of laughter, to the hiss of sport. She heard legs stomp closer and felt the VP's heart chambers race. She braced herself within the beetle, spread her hind legs out, and began to flex them in powerful bursts. Before the president's compound eyes, the VP began not just to pump up and down to spring to full height, but to hop from side to side. This was a new strategy, and the president was certain it would not work. The VP sacrificed balance. She plunged forward and hammered a claw against his thorax. But he did not sway. Without missing a step, he began to pound on her exoskeleton. The rhythm slowly unified. Clack, 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 clack. The smallest could feel the giant body crunch around her each time they fell. Yet she pushed ever harder to launch them back up. From side to side, the beetle bounced, and the watchers hissed in surprise. Though the beetle fell lower than the president hopping to the new legs, when bouncing onto the original leg, the beetle rose higher. He could be 4'8". The president watched the unthinkable happen. The bouncing beetle actually seemed to hover above her, rise to a height from which she could see the underside of his mandibles. She pumped her hind legs hard, clattered her forelegs on the challenger, every breath an erratic whistle. She avoided a stab of mandibles, pumped her legs and locked them at her full height, and found herself leaning too far back. Her balance was gone. The VP screeched as loud as two beetles and smashed her head with a shaming mandible. She fell backwards, collapsed onto her back, and was stunned. She had lost. A silent wave of awe hung for a second over the crowd until a barrage of hisses and cheers exploded. Within the exoskeleton, the smallest heard the cries of her partner and hissed in satisfaction. Their strategy had worked! The president beetle endured the mocking sounds of her inferiors with taut feelers, antenna bent in harsh fury. Even her secretaries turned their backs. This could not be right! How could this pathetic bug defeat her after such a debilitating loss? As the victor bent over the loser to gather the prize, the mug of Garfield, the president inspected the supposedly taller beetle. From her low angle, she could see the new legs. And as the beetle stretched to pull the mug from her mandibles, she saw the exoskeleton separate from the legs. They were not attached. Up close, she could see the exoskeleton about these new legs were not blue like the VP, but dirt brown. Fury overwhelmed all senses, even embarrassment. She wasn't beaten. She had been tricked. The vice president pulled the mug easily from the president's grasp. He was tempted to attack her anyway, prove his stature, but he refrained. Holding the porcelain smoothness of the mug in his arms, he admired the faded cat, the indecipherable writing in its thought bubble. The prize was not just his, and it never was. It was theirs to share. He held it with his forelegs and midlegs both. Such was his pride. Inside him, the smallest heard the clink of fragile glass against Kaitlin's shell. Through the beetle's exoskeleton plate, she could swear she saw orange glow through it like the sun shining through a tarsal claw. The smallest reflected that in their cruel world, perhaps there could, occasionally, be a sense of justice. It was then she felt the kick. Her legs folded beneath her. The vice president beetle did not realize they were falling until he saw the rapidly approaching floor. He tried to stop himself, protect the mug, but he could not do both. From within, the smallest felt the hard smack of the ground meeting them. In one instant, She heard the unmistakable shatter of porcelain and felt the blinding burn of light on her eyes. The cheers stopped. When the hisses began again, they took on tones of shock and disgust. The winning beetle was actually two beetles. A crippled loser and the smallest beetle in the office. Ratata, 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 ratata. The laughter would not end. The vice president rolled over and found the mug broken into a dozen shards, half of which broke through his exoskeleton in fresh, weeping gashes. He looked back at the smallest, who was covered in his juices. In his feelers and antenna, the smallest saw remorse and despair, the same kind that had first weakened her defenses to the beetle. In that instant of tender gaze, they shared a loss they alone would ever know. The president was up again. She had no eyes for the smallest, who fled before her stomping hind legs as she approached the vice president. Hiss! The president beetle screamed, slamming her fat left tarsal on the challenger's newly wounded thorax. She hissed at the others. What are you waiting for? As though waking from a spell, the beetles came to their senses and rushed for the fresh meat. The smallest saw as the VP disappeared under the mass of hungry attackers and could bear to watch no more. She fled, but only for a moment. She was pulled back by the sharp pinch of mandibles. An emerald green sales beetle in a paisley necktie had caught her. Drawn by the smell of the larger beetle's green and yellow guts about her, she turned to face the attacker, flailing all six legs and clacking her mandibles in defense. The beetle made a brief ratata laugh before it was cut off. He lurched forward suddenly, dropping the smallest beetle. He spun. Who dared attack him? The tallest intern faced the sales beetle, almost 2 feet shorter. He seemed to immediately regret attacking the giant until the second tallest intern clacked the sales beetle from the other side. He spun, and this time his sides felt the stinging bite of two more interns as the tallest intern tackled him with a crack. The smallest tried to watch, but the beetles around her tugged and pulled. She had no choice but to follow lest her antenna be ripped off in the process. They ran, and though the smallest tried to see, she lost all sight of the vice president, the mob, and the mug. Finally, the bugs slowed their retreat, stopping at a paper pile near the birthing pits. They pushed the smallest on top of the small paper mound so that all the interns could see. The smallest waited for an attack. A foul hiss, the mocking blows of laughter, but none came. Instead, the intern beetle stared, a curious awe in their black marble eyes. She endured their gaze with difficulty, accustomed only to the negative effects of attention. The crowd began to grow around her. 15 beetles, then 20, then all the interns of the office. From the front, a beetle only 2 inches taller than the smallest approached. The beetle bowed before the smallest and raised a foreleg to the smallest forehead. The beetle wiped away a clawful of the VP's guts and smeared it on his own forehead. Another beetle approached and wiped at the smallest thorax to anoint herself in the same manner. More beetles converged, marking themselves with the proof of the beetle's victory. Never before had such slight beetles seen an intern conquer an executive beetle, and she had done more than even that. She had worn a dying executive like a cocoon, defeated the president beetle, and killed the cocoon in the process. An intern would have thought it impossible to shame two executives at once, but they had all watched it happen.
Yes.
One beetle told her,
"Show us."
Another hissed the same. And another,
"Show us how to defeat without height."
The smallest watched them all, accepted the praise, yet felt no sense of pride. In the other room, the larger beetles were finishing with the vice president. The shards of the mug were scattered by legs and abdomens until there was no piecing it back together. The witnesses to her deceit were now all properly anointed with the gore of the fallen vice president. The smallest wondered why they chose to do this. Did they believe it was some mark of success? This competition, the heightest policies, it disgusted her. She decided to take a different perspective. This was a mark of the vice president, a beetle she had over the few weeks grown to care for. Quite literally, there was a piece of him in all these beetles. The smallest beetle stood tall and raised a tarsal over the beetles to command them to silence. On her hind legs, she walked off the swell of paper. She walked past the broken copier, the torn carpet of the elevator lobby, past the electrical closet long lifeless, and the piled skeletons of ancients long past. The intern beetles followed her each step as she made for the stairwell. Outside the building, the sun was setting, and though each hoped to hear it, there was no trace of the ninth tone from the nine-tone beetle. Beetles followed the smallest in fear, wondering how they would know when to stop working, but they already had. They would never work again. The smallest, for the first time, saw her life's home from the outside. It stood alone on the horizon like a middle finger. All other buildings crumbled to stony ruins. It too was weak, and even as they stood there, they could see it quake, grown with sprays of powder and crushed concrete. She glanced up to the peak of the skyscraper, imagining she could see inside. She imagined the vice president was still there, the mug still whole, the moment they shared before their collapse still the present. But it wasn't. She had spent so little of her life inside another beetle, but the solitude now felt eternal. She raised a tarsal high and led the interns away from the office that had forsaken them. It was time they found a new home. The story must be told.
Well, everyone, let me be the first to say, that was a whole lot of bugs. Yeah, a whole lot of bugs crawling around, feeling emotions, enduring that class struggle. You might wonder, why bugs? Are we bugs? Is this why the story saw fit to share a story like this? Some of us are bugs. Some of us have bugs under our skin. Some of us look like bugs. Yeah, talking about you, Mrs. Clawsnatch. But no matter what, remember this. All beings are insects before the story. We all have bodies that snap and squish under the story's rude heel. And if you ever feel lost, feel you have betrayed your story, failed in some way to please it, know this. As long as you squish, the story doesn't mind. Squish, squish, dear congregants.
Thank you for listening to The Story Must Be Told, and dogs are cats. Now, we're proud to be hosted on the Last Podcast Network. Yeah, kitties go bark bark and doggies go meow meow, meow meow meow. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TSMBTPod, or follow Pastor Andrew Brother Reed and Sister Callista on Twitter at PSTRAndrew, at Our Brother Reed, at Sister Callista. Oh yeah, kitties like chasing doggies now. Buy one of our shirts, including the new Crow Crowish shirt. Find the link on our Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud. But more importantly, there aren't cousins anymore. Rate and review us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Tell your friends about the story. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the bigger news, but it's hard to lead with. No more cousins. What does that mean?
This was a Post Everything production. Learn more at posteverythingproductions.com or check out our new YouTube channel, youtube.com/thestorymustbetold. We got short films. And, I guess families mean nothing now. We'll be back next week, and my kitties will rip apart a man I used to call cousin.
Oh, God. Okay.
The story must be told.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.